book of Ephesians, fourth chapter. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body. Everybody say one body. One Spirit. One Spirit. Even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord. One faith. One baptism. One God. Amen. You may be seated. And Father of all, who's above all, through all, and in you all. Amen. Hallelujah. In case y'all don't know it, I'm a one God preacher. I'm sure you don't know that yet, but I'm a one God preacher. Amen. Why? Because there's only one God. That's why. There are no other gods. There's only one God. There's one Lord. Everybody say one Lord. One faith. One baptism. The Word also teaches us by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. Amen. The way man looks at things, 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 3. The way God does this, it's 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 1. He's just one any way you look at it. There's one church that's right. There's only one church that's going to make it. And that's the one that is the church. Hallelujah. Everything else that calls itself a church needs to bow down to Jesus Christ, accept the name of Jesus. And water baptism, repentance, baptism in Jesus' name is the only way to be saved. Receiving the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as that one Spirit gives you the utterance, and not as some charismatic character tells you what to try to say, this ti-ti-ti-ti-mi-ti-si. That's not it. This week I drove my car around the block here. I was on my way somewhere, but before I don't remember where I was going. God, I hope it's not something bad, and I just suddenly remember it blurted out. No, it wouldn't have been bad. But I don't remember where I was going. I guess I was going to the store, but anyhow, I started out wherever I was going. And I went a block, and I turned, just felt to turn. I didn't know why. This was on Saturday. And now I remember where I was going. I was going to Old Times Restaurant to get a bite to eat. That's where I was going, because I called you, didn't I, to see if you wanted to go meet me there. But, yeah, you're too far away. And it was one of those spur of moments where it's just whoever's by me, you know, has lunch, because I don't really have any friends or any close ones. But anyway, I felt like turning off and driving around by the little train station there just to see if anybody's out there. And there was a whole group of about 10 people sitting side by side, homeless people, sitting side by side on a place out there. And they were just looking at me as I was driving. So I just drove right up in their face, parked my car right in front of them, turned off the key and looked at them. And they said, "So what do you want?" And I said, "A friend." And I didn't think about how that sounded to them. I said, "I'm just looking for a friend." And then they wanted to make all kinds of things out of that. They started offering me a beer, and they started asking me what kind of friend was I looking for. And I had to straighten that mess out real fast. I said, "Hold on just a minute. Hold on just a minute." I said, "I'm the preacher from the little church down the corner, down the street here." And I said, "The reason I said I'm looking for a friend is because I really am looking for somebody that I can be friends with. I figured I could probably have all you people be my friend. I'm not looking for a beer. I'm not looking for a woman. I'm not looking for anything like that." I said, "I'm just looking for somebody that wants a real friend who'll be honest with you and talk to you and care about you and even pray for you." That stunned them. They've never been approached like that before. You could tell. They just looked at me. So one of them said, "You're a preacher." Said, "Yep." And he said, "You're from Arkansas." I said, "Yep." He said, "So am I." I said, "Well, good. How long you been here?" I asked him. He said, "A year." I said, "I've been here 25 years. He said, "Well," and then there was a lady down the row said, "Well, at least you got a place to live and we're homeless." I said, "I'm homeless." She said, "Driving a car like that, wearing a suit, and you're homeless?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "You notice I got Arkansas tags on my car. I got Arkansas driver's license. They even arrested me one time, tried to get me to change to Connecticut, and I told them I don't have a home in Connecticut. My home is in Arkansas." And I won that case, and that was years ago. And I said, "I'm homeless." She said, "At least you got a car you can stay in." I said, "No, I stay in the church when I'm around here, and I've been around here 25 years, more or less. I'm in and out of the church." I said, "It's pretty comfortable down there." But I said, "All I do is just come and go from the church. Sometimes I leave the state and go home, but it's usually once every two or three years." And we had a conversation going, you know. And after a while, the guy way down on the end said, and these were people I have, you know, we've had these homeless people in here before, several of them. I didn't know any of these. I've never seen any of this group before. And in fact, they all promised me they'd be here today. Where are they? But, you know, we've been through that before, too. But the one on the end said, "When do you have church?" I said, 3:00 on Sundays. And on Tuesdays and Thursday nights, he said, "I may come Sunday, but you're not going to speak in tongues, are you?" Now, I didn't say a thing about speaking in tongues. I said, "Well, I don't know. I might. You might, too." Maybe. But he'd been somewhere where he knew something about that. And I told him, I said, "It's not all about going somewhere to speak in tongues." I said, "I don't know what you heard about all that, but," I said, "there's something real. Just like I'm out here for a real purpose. I'm here for no other motive than to be kind to you people." One of them said, "Would you spend the night where we spend the night?" I said, "A lot depends." I said, "I'm not interested in a lot of things that I got delivered from, and I've seen other people get delivered from. But," I said, "if it were a night where we were just sleeping under the bridge or having a place to camp out because we don't have a home, I had no problem with that." I said, "Even Jesus slept outdoors." I said, "You got it made." One of them asked me, "What do you think about the politics of today?" And then another one spoke up and said, "Yeah, look what's happening to all our money." And I smiled and said, "What money?" Amen. But the point I was making with all that is, that one on the end said, "You're not going to speak in tongues, are you?" It's not all about speaking in tongues. That's just part of the package. Hallelujah. It's a good part of the package. They shall speak with new tongues. Amen. There's a lot of things in this package. Amen. Praise God. The Spirit of the Lord was, you know, came on them, and they began to receive the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues. But there's a whole lot going on here. There's one Lord. There's one faith. There's one baptism. We're endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There's one God and Father of all who's above all, through all, and in you all. And when you get the Father in you, you've also got the Son and the Holy Ghost. Because these three are one. These three are one. The Bible says that the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in him bodily. That's what I told these people down at the station the other day, too. I said, "You know what? All the Godhead," and they weren't prepared for any of this because they don't know their Bible. I said, "The Father and the Holy Ghost is in Jesus." Amen. They said, "Yeah." And I said, "And when you get Jesus in you, you've got the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost in you." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I was smiling, and they were acting like they were in agreement with me. They didn't know what they were agreeing with. But I was not there against these people. It was not a debate. You don't have to fuss your way through this thing. You don't have to argue with people. God just wants us to let our light shine. You are a living epistle for all to read. Praise God. You are a walking Bible encyclopedia. When you open your mouth and say a word to a sinner, you're speaking as the voice of God. Hallelujah. No matter where you are, hey, just because they're not sitting around reading a book or something or down on their knees praying doesn't mean that you can't have church right where they are. I had church down the street here the other day. When it dawned on those people, the only reason I'm there is to bring them Jesus. That was a good feeling came down through that line. That was a good feeling. They all started opening up and talking freely to me. We talked about all kinds of things. We talked about Jesus. We talked about fishing. We talked about working conditions. We talked about politics. We talked about the various kinds of churches, the different kinds of Bibles. It was a good conversation, but it all ended up, I had myself 10 new friends. Hallelujah. 10 new friends. And it turned out the one that was from Arkansas actually had a job working with my first cousin. Named Ray Rutledge, Billy Ray Rutledge. He knew him well, and I hadn't seen the guy in probably 35 or 40 years. But he's the one that told me, Rutledge. He said, I knew a Rutledge. I've known a Rutledge for years. And he told me his name and described all about him. Turns out he's my cousin. Small world, isn't it? Small world. One Lord. One faith. One baptism. I look at this one faith. If there's one faith, that means whatever faith there is, it's only one faith. And then I see Jesus being manifested through Simon Peter and John when a crippled man who hasn't been able to walk in his entire life is asking for an alms, asking for money. Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the Word of God says, before the man started leaping and praising God, that actually Peter reached out, took him by the hand, and lifted him up. Now that was faith. Later on in a testimony before the accusers and those that were trying to find fault, Peter testified that this happened by faith, through faith, in the name of Jesus. And it was by the faith of Jesus Christ that the man stands before you whole. The Word also says that we're all given a measure of faith. If we're given a measure of faith and there's only one faith, we've been given a measure of the faith that it takes to get things done. Hallelujah. And I don't see that that measure of faith is just limited only to church people. It surely must be given to every man and woman on the face of the earth. Something that comes from God that gives us the ability to believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Amen. If there's only one faith, that's what you use the first time you opened your mouth and said, Jesus, I need you. Or Jesus, I want you. Praise God. When Jesus came to those that were going through the storm and they were working so hard to try to save themselves and they finally called on the Lord, He said to them, Oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. Where is your faith? But if there's only one faith, He was, in other words, saying to them, there's a whole lot of what you're just seeing a little bit of in your life. There's a whole lot more because if there's only one faith, the Word says that by faith or through faith, the worlds were framed by the Word of God. It was the faith of God and the ability of God to do all things. If there's only one faith, that faith that God is and God has is only one faith. Whatever faith you have in your life that's being manifested, there's a whole lot more than what you've ever seen before. There's only one faith. It's the same faith that created the universe. There's only one faith. It's the same faith that healed all those multitudes that you read about in the Bible. It's the same faith that was in Elijah that did all the miracles of Elijah. And the Spirit of Elijah is with us this day. And the same faith in the same God is doing great things. Miracles are still happening. Hallelujah! One Lord. One faith. And one baptism. If there's only one baptism, that means there's only one any way you look at it. It's the one that's right. And any other way to be baptized is wrong. Because there's not two ways to get baptized. Somebody told me the other day, I got re-baptized in Jesus' name after I was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And he didn't get re-baptized, he got baptized. You don't get re-baptized after you haven't been baptized. Glory! Remember Marion, when she came here years ago, she said, I've been baptized, how many times was it, 12 times? I think she'd been baptized 12 times. And she told us all the ways that she got baptized and various little things she had joined, and now she wanted to be baptized in Jesus' name. And I remember when I baptized the lady, I said, she says she's been baptized 12 times. But according to the Word of God, this is the first time she's ever been baptized. And I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, I baptize you, Marion Donegan. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. I don't understand people who say they love Jesus. They want Jesus. They want to live for Jesus. But they can't baptize in His name. It is. When the Word declares there's only one name given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. At the name of Jesus, every tongue shall confess. Peter was not in conflict with Matthew on the day of Pentecost when he gave the answer to the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? Matthew was standing with Peter. You read it for yourself. Peter standing with the 11. Peter was standing there. Though Jewish custom was, if you're standing with a spokesman, you're speaking with the spokesman. Whatever he is saying as you stand with him in agreement is what you're also saying. So the truth of the matter, Matthew and Peter and James and the others were saying, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. I heard somebody say, I would rather take the words of Jesus than the words of Peter. The truth of the matter, Matthew wrote Matthew 28:19. Luke wrote Acts. So if you're going to take the words of Jesus, you're going to have to hear it by Matthew or Peter or somebody. Or me. Or somebody, some living epistle walks by with one Lord and one faith and one baptism to distribute to all the inhabitants of the land. Hey, we've got exactly what you take. There's plenty of this. It's kind of like the little boy with a little bit of lunch, but there's enough for the entire multitude. There's only one Lord, but there's enough for all the billions of people around the world. There's only one faith, but there's more than we can ever use up. There's only one baptism, but you don't take anything away from this one baptism when you get baptized in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We give you Jesus. We give you the Word of God. We give you truth. When our shadow passes by, you can be healed as they were in the days of Peter. You can be healed of your sin. Your sin sickness. Thank you, Jesus. Let's praise the Lord, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So we have to be able to tap into that one faith in order to come to God. Hallelujah. And so without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That's part of that one faith. You take that beginning of believing that he is. God is. That same faith will take you all the way to heaven if you will keep following the faith of Jesus Christ. It's that same faith that will take you to an altar of repentance. It's that same faith that will take you into water baptism, where you're immersed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. It's that same faith that will cause you to open your mouth and let God take control of your tongue and give you His presence as you yield your life to Him. It's that same faith that will cause you to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover right before your very eyes, giving all glory to God. It's that same faith that opens the blinded eyes, sets the captive free, causes people who were sinners to be able to shout hallelujah, spotless and clean and washed by the blood of the Lamb. That faith that causes a sinner to say, I believe there's a God. That's what you need. That's the faith you need. That's the faith that'll take you all the way. So I'm not here to knock all those people that are trying to get other people to believe in the Lord as their personal Savior. You got to do that if you're ever going to learn about God. I'm not here to put anybody down that says, come on now, let's say the sinner's prayer. It's not going to hurt you. Praise God. If you got enough faith to believe I can say these words, it might help. It's probably a lot better than some of the other stuff you've been saying. Not going to hurt you. I'm not here to throw stones at people who say, come on, folks, you need to make a decision for Christ. That's the truth. We do need to make a decision for Christ. But what I can't understand, it was so great a faith at our fingertips, the faith that was once delivered to the saints, the faith of God that created all things, and to all of us who have been given a measure of this great faith. Amen. To have this in our hands and not let it take us all the way just blows my mind. To settle for, oh, I believe, and so I'm saved. No. If you believed, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. People read that wrong. They understand it. They want to read it wrong, you know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. I hear some of them read it, shall not perish. And some of them read it and say, see, that's all you have to do. Just believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Confess it with your mouth. Believe it in your heart. I hear all this stuff, but I'm not here to argue with anybody. But look, if faith can bring you that far, why limit yourself? It's the same faith that'll take you another step. That'll help you get all the way to the top of the stairway. It'll take you from the valley to the mountain. Why limit yourself to just a little measure when God has a whole tub full for you? Hallelujah! Did you know there are hundreds and hundreds of preachers being baptized after having preached for years all over this world in Jesus' name and baptizing their entire congregations today? This is almost common talk now. We've been seeing it happen over and over. Just recently, thousands in Africa, thousands of Trinitarian pastors went down into the waters of baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Brother Teclamarian has over 1 million people that he pastors baptized in Jesus' name in Ethiopia. In that congregation of over 1 million people with a lot of pastors, many of those pastors pastoring those groups were Trinitarians just a few years ago. But there was something about that faith that brought them to believe there is a God. That faith, even though they didn't understand clearly what they were doing, but they were sincere. When they went into the water and heard the preacher say, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Or they said, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I don't understand why they want to say God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's not in the Bible. It's God the Father, the Son of God, and the Holy Ghost. It's all one God. People try to rewrite the Word to try to get it to measure up to the three-God belief. You don't need to believe in three gods. One is sufficient. One is enough. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We don't need any more gods. Hallelujah. But they teach this three-God dogma so much that they actually believe it, and it limits them in their faith. And so the charismatic have to make up tongue speaking in order to speak in tongues. I even went to a church once right here in Connecticut where they handed out instructions on how to speak in tongues and wrote the syllables out on the literature where you can just read it when the pastor gets up and speak in tongues. Yeah. Right here in Norwich. Had words like they sounded really silly too when they started doing it. Went to a church in California a few years ago. 5,000 people or so gathered in a big place. They had bought an entire mall and they were using it for church. And I was there and visiting with a friend. The friend was, I had just got through baptizing in Jesus' name, who had been raised in this other type of believing, but a sincere person. And this, I was invited to go to this Sunday service, so here I was in the middle of all this charisma. And look, please don't take me wrong. I'm not fighting the charismatics. I'm just saying the faith that got you to where you are will take you past where you are. You don't have to stop and settle for a bunch of stuff that you might get at the religious bookstore telling you what you've got and how to make use of it. Look, it comes from the Holy Ghost. You don't need anything except the Spirit of God. Read your Bible and get on your knees and pray. God is the Spirit of truth. The Holy Ghost will lead you into all truth. Hallelujah. And some of these books in the libraries and some of these books in the Bible bookstore will lead you into all false ways. Thank you, Lord. And if you don't know exactly what's what, it might be best just to leave all that alone. Stick with the Bible. Stick with prayer. Let the one Lord, the one faith, the one baptism, the one church, the one way to God be your way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not knocking anybody. I'm just saying there's more for you. We're not enemies with everybody. Most of my friends in this community are Catholic people. I'm not mad at the Catholics. We're friends. I love the Catholic people. They know I love them. I associate with Catholics all the time. We got a bunch of people go to this church. We used to go to Mass regularly. We got a man running the camera. He was an altar boy. My assistant pastor was an altar boy. We know what the Catholics are all about. We're not here to fight Catholics. This is a Catholic town. New England's a Catholic place. So what? I came to the Bible Belt, but most of them were Baptists. That didn't hurt me either. Praise God. God's not mad at you because you're a Catholic. He just got something more for you. Since that first time you thought you were all the way on the faith that is the faith, it takes faith to get up on a Sunday morning and go to Mass. It takes faith. Did you know God goes to every Mass? God attends every Baptist church. Oh, I'm really confusing a lot of people now. God goes to every Trinitarian theology symposium. God sits in the dean's office every time somebody comes in to find out more about God at every Trinitarian college. God goes to every Jewish synagogue. He's at every Seventh-day Adventist service. He's there. God is in every Protestant church, every Catholic church, every Jewish church, and He even goes to where people are worshiping Buddha. He's there. Because whatever it took to get somebody to get down on their knees and say, I need to change. and I need God in my life. That's the faith that it takes to go to heaven. What you got to do, though, is don't settle for something false that might be introduced after that. Look, there is a Word of God. There is a truth of God. There's one Spirit of God. And if you can grab a hold of the one Spirit that goes with the one faith, God will take you through all the mess. And pretty soon you're going to be a one God apostolic, tongue-talking, holy roller, born-again, liberated believer in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah! Praise Him. Thank you, Jesus. God goes to all these places. He hears every prayer of every person in a false place. It does. It is true. He hears. God knows even the very hairs of your head. He knows every little sparrow that falls to the ground. And every service before you arrive in any place, even whether it's a church or whatever you think it is, God is there to meet you. Now, just because the preacher preached some harebrained false doctrine doesn't mean that God won't help you if you're sincere. Because I know people that got the Holy Ghost in a Baptist church. And the Holy Ghost let them out. Ain't no truth being preached there, they said. I got to go to a place where they baptize in Jesus' name. I know some Catholic priests that got the Holy Ghost while conducting their mass, but they went back behind closed doors. They got sincere. I've heard these stories all my life. I've heard of people in colleges, these colleges that were funded by Catholics years ago, how that priests got down on their knees and began to pray, and God filled them with the Holy Ghost. The same Spirit that led them by faith to accept God as their answer for existence. It's the same Spirit that wants to fill them and lead them to the waters of baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you, if you settle for some Catholic regiment or some Baptist theology or some Trinitarian way of life as to be your answer, and you neglect the truth of Almighty God, you're all going to be lost. Just because God shows up in every little place doesn't mean that all of you are saved. He's there to save you. But He only saves people through the one faith, the one Lord, and the one baptism. And anybody that claims to be a pastor of a church that doesn't teach that needs to be saved. Thank you, Jesus. Let's praise Him again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll tell you something else that'll blow your mind. God goes to honky-tonks and beer joints. I can tell you of a lot of people. One in particular on my mind right now is Sammy. I told you about Sammy. He was in a beer joint when he met God. And God wasn't there cussing, drinking, smoking, carrying on. He wasn't doing that. But in that spot, Sammy's sitting drinking his beer with his buddies. Heard these two guys beside him as they were getting pretty much intoxicated. One of them was saying, "There is no God." The other one said, "Well, if there is a God, He's not a good God because He let my grandma die." And they started crying in their beer about how bad God is if He even exists. Sammy said, "I don't like the way this conversation is going." Right there in that barroom. And one of them said, "Well, what's it to you, Sam? You're drunk just like we are." He said, "Yeah, but," he said, "I believe there's a God." Hey, that's when that one faith started kicking in. He started saying, "I believe there's a God," right there in that barroom, on that bar stool. "I believe there's a God. Hey, I believe he got overheard by the God that he started believing in." And the other one said, "You're just a drunk like us." He said, "But I believe there's a God, and I believe He's a good God." We're going to have Sammy come up here and preach for us pretty soon. I talked to him the other day. He said he'd love to come up here. Thank you, Jesus. We call him Sewer Pipe Sam. Actually, I got my story mixed up. It was Chip that was in the bar room. chip. Everybody say chip. I'm getting old. Memory fails me sometimes. It was Chip was in the bar room. And they said, Chip, you're drunk just like we are. And all this, all the other part I said was true, but only the names have been changed to protect the innocent. It's Chip. But God heard Chip say, I believe there's a God. That night, late at night, there was a knock on the door. We were already in bed. There stood Chip with his beer under his arms and a pack of cigarettes. Not a pack, not just a little package, but a big old box of cigarettes. Carried a carton of cigarettes. Standing there with tears in his eyes. I heard him talking to my father, the pastor of the church. He said, I came here to see what I need to do next. I was drinking. And he told us about the conversation. And he said, whatever I got to do, I'm willing to do it. And he handed my dad the beer and he handed him the cigarettes. My dad said, I don't want this stuff. He said, well, I don't need it no more. There's something about this true spirit of God. Nobody has to tell you what to give up. I promise you, when you get the one spirit, the one Lord, the one faith in you, you will gladly get rid of some things. Because that spirit puts it in your heart to sanctify yourself and be holy. Thank you, Jesus. You can tell when somebody's repenting and turning to God. They start getting rid of some stuff. Hallelujah. So about 3 o'clock in the morning, we were in the church, which was across the street, filling up the baptistry. Chip was walking back and forth, praying. He didn't know how to pray. He was just saying, thank God my mama's not going to understand this. My dad's not going to understand this. And if y'all pardon me, I'm just going to repeat the words he used. He said, God, my friends won't understand it. Then he looked up, and I was looking at Chip when he did this. He said, but by golly, you'll understand it, won't you, God? God, and pardon me for saying that, but it was just so sincere. I watched him go down in that water about 4 o'clock in the morning. Jesus' name. And here we are about, what, 26, 27, 28, 29. About 30 years this all happened, 30 years ago. And Chip's still on fire for God today. Because when you get this real spirit of God in you, it'll keep you. It'll keep you. Thank you, Jesus. God filled him with the Holy Ghost. He went out to the paper mill. Chip hadn't been raised in church. He didn't know the Bible, but he had the spirit of truth in him. The spirit of truth. The one Lord, the one faith, the one baptism. He was standing out the paper mill where he worked. Sammy was out in the shadows, the one that I got the names mixed up. He was out in the shadows at the paper mill. International Paper Company, Pine Bluff, Arkansas. A group of people gathered around Chip. And the conversation went something like this. Chip was standing talking to his friends there, workers, at lunchtime, on lunch break. He said, I don't drink anymore. I don't smoke anymore. I don't cuss anymore. And one of his friends said, well, I'm a Christian, Chip. I still cuss. I still drink. I still smoke. And I do a lot of other things we used to do together. So he said, so Chip, tell us, what about that miracle of Jesus turning water to wine? Explain that one to us. Chip said, he did what? And you're supposed to be holy, Chip. And one man said, I've been serving God 25 years. I'm a Christian. I can't even be lost. And I drink all I want. So explain why Jesus turned water to wine if drinking's not good for you, Chip. Yeah, I didn't know Jesus did that. Only thing I can tell you, and Sammy was listening, he changed whiskey to bread at my house. Something about that got a hold of old Sammy's heart. He slipped off behind the paper mill. There was no sewer pipe back there. And I want to tell you something. God even meets people in a sewer pipe. Sammy crawled up in the sewer pipe. Thank God it wasn't raining that day. And nothing was draining through it. It was dry. But he crawled up in this old drainage sewer pipe. Far as he could. So nobody would hear him. And he whispered, "God, if you're real, I want to know you too." Guess who heard every word of that? It don't matter how low you get, how much you crawl, how shy you are, how much you don't want anybody to know what's going on in your life. God will meet you if you just get a little bit of faith. Just a little bit of faith. It took a little bit of faith for him to open his mouth and say, "God." That's what it takes. That faith to take you all the way to heaven. But there's some things to do between then, when you start, and when you get there. But it'll all be by that same faith through one Lord and with one baptism. Hallelujah. God, if you can hear me, I want what Chip has. Y'all need to hear this stuff. You can be saved. Look, I had a man this week call me on the phone. I've been helping him. We went down and helped him today. He's a friend. But he has a problem with his drinking and drugs and stuff. So we visit with him on Sundays, and he's trying to do what he can. And where he is, he's trying to be holy, you know. He's got a ways to go, but the people there respect him because he totes the Bible around. He talks about God, but he's still working on himself too. But he called me this week because he considered me his pastor from this rehabilitation place, and he's ready to get out because he just had a fight with his counselor, and he and his counselor had this big mess going. And anyway, he was unloading on me because he was so mad at his counselor, and he just kept using those crazy bad words, you know. Blank this, blank this, blank that, blank that, blank that. And he said, and my counselor told me I'm not even a Christian. I said, you know, your counselor's right. He didn't like that. But he was in a place where he can't run off and smoke some pot, you know, try to get some relief, and he can't get drunk, try to get over, so he stayed on the phone a minute. But I needed to get to that TV program. I had to get off the phone, couldn't stay long. And he wanted all kinds of favors and all kinds, and I just told him, you stay where you are, go apologize to your counselor, tell him you're sorry for your attitude, quit cussing. And it left kind of a bad feeling there, you know, and he didn't even think we were going to show up today. And we showed up, loving him. He did go to his counselor and apologize. He's so looking forward to being a part of this church as soon as he gets out of that in a few days. And I'm going to go with him to the judge and stand with him because he made a choice. He made a choice to do what's right, even if it was hard. And today he said, "Pastor, you were right, and thank you for being so straight with me." That's some faith working in his life. That's faith working. But then back to Sammy. Like Brother Mike said, there's a lot of people needs to hear this around here. Yes, this place is as infested with drunks as any place I ever saw. But that's not to say that we don't love you. Just like the guy that told me he was sitting on a bar still singing a song, didn't even know what he was singing. And he said, I was singing, "Take Another Look at Acts 2:38. And he said, one of the drunk guys said, "What's that song?" He said, "I don't know. What's in Acts 2:38? He said, "I don't know. Heard on TV." And I've met him at a gas pump. He said, "You're the one that got me in trouble." He said, "You're the one singing that song on television every week. And I learned it, and I was drinking beer singing it, and I didn't know how to explain it." They're all around us. But they all need to be saved. And I tell you, you get a person good and drunk, and they're glad to talk about God. But when they get sober up, they forget the conversation. So we need to get all this straightened out somehow. But Sammy was back in that sewer pipe saying, God. Then he showed up with all his long hair all over his face. You know, and all kinds of jewelry on and stuff. And Chip was sitting on the front seat. And he looked around and said, Sammy, what are you doing here? Sammy said, I just thought I'd show up and see what's going on. When the preacher invited the folks down to the front to pray, the person in the altar was Sammy, long blonde hair and all, praying, oh God, whatever it takes, I want it. Watch the preacher baptize him in Jesus' name. I watched both of those hands, praise God, go up. Watch those lips just fluttering, that tongue just speaking out syllables as the Spirit of God gave the utterance to this man who knew nothing about God until he crawled up into a sewer pipe. Hallelujah. Pastor's a nice church today down in Arkansas. Got a great congregation. Loves God with all his heart. The next week, out at that same paper mill, that same crowd gathered around Chip and Sammy. And I'm not going to go into all the details because the next one's Ronnie Ford and you got A.L. Wilson. In fact, there was a time when the whole bunch of them were sitting on the front seats of the church down there. And it was a chain reaction. And it seemed like every time this religious crowd would rise up and try to mock them, one more would get converted because they'd hear the answers from the Spirit-filled child of God that just got the real thing. Hallelujah. So Sammy was with Chip the next week, and they were gathered around under the trees behind the paper mill. And so one of them says, so Sammy, so you got the same thing that Chip got now, I see. Sammy was saying to him, I don't drink anymore, I don't smoke anymore, I don't cuss anymore. And by the way, did you notice I cut my hair? Shaved. And they started, you know, saying, you don't have to do that. You know, we've been saved all these years. We don't have to do that. So they said, so Sammy, explain to us the thief on the cross. He said, say what? The thief on the cross. He didn't get baptized in Jesus' name. He didn't get the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. Explain to us, Sammy. Sammy said, I didn't know there was a thief on no cross. Ha, 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 they said. And you're supposed to be so holy and you don't know about the thief on the cross. I've been in church 25 years. I smoke, I drink, I cuss, and I know about the thief on the cross. I even teach it when I teach Sunday school class. Sammy said, and Ronnie Ford was listening. I don't know about no thief on no cross. But all I can tell you, I used to steal, and I don't steal anymore. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's all stand and praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. I'm talking about one Lord. One faith. One baptism, one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. One way to God, one church. Hallelujah. Worship Him today, everybody. Praise God. All you need is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Hallelujah. There's only one God up in heaven, the Bible so plainly declares. And if God were really three persons, they'd have to play musical chairs. One God, one God is sufficient for me, one God, one God, one God is sufficient for me. Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's gather around. Let's praise the Lord. One God is sufficient for me, not three. Hallelujah. Let's give praise. One God, one mediator, one sinner that needs that one God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, glory. Glory, Jesus. Glory, Jesus. Glory, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Mighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, now, Jesus on the mainline, tell him what you want. Jesus on the mainline, tell him what you want. Jesus on the mainline now. Jesus on the mainline, tell him what you want. Jesus on the mainline, tell him what you want. Oh, Jesus on the mainline, tell him what you want. Jesus on the mainline now.
Well, now, if you want the Holy Ghost, tell him what you want. If you want the Holy Ghost, tell him what you want. If you want the Holy Ghost, tell him what you want. Jesus on the mainline.
If you want your healing,
if you want your healing, tell him what you want. If you want your healing, tell him what you want. If you want your healing, tell him what you want.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus on the mainline, tell him what you want. Jesus on the mainline, tell him what you want. Jesus on the mainline now.
Well, glory.
Hallelujah. Tell him what you want. Oh, Jesus on the mainline.
Hallelujah.
Tell him what you want. Oh, Jesus on the mainline. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the mainline now.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah,
thank you,
Jesus.
Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise
thank
the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank
hallelujah.
You, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God.
And if today out there you're listening and watching and you're hearing this, and maybe you're hearing this for the first time, perhaps you're not feeling so good right now because the Word of God has kind of ruffled up your doctrinal feathers, the best thing you can do, contact us.
Yes.
And make arrangements and let us help you make arrangements to get in the water in Jesus' name.
That's right.
To get this thing right. To get it right. So contact us. We're here at 860-823-1953. And you can go to our website if you're already on NorwichTabernacle.com and select contact us. There are email addresses where you can email us.
Right.
And contact us. Make contact. Let us hear you. Let us talk with you and take you further and help you make arrangements. This isn't something that you should put off. So now we're calling you to action. You've heard the word.
Amen.
Now what are you going to do with what you heard?
Amen.
You can ignore the scripture, but it's still going to be there after you're done ignoring it. It doesn't go away because you feel like you just want to believe something else. There's only one, as it was preached today.
Yes, and Brother
Amen.
Joe, for those out there who are watching, who don't think, you know, that they should do it or maybe don't know whether to, let me tell you this. We've had at least 36 people who have come here to be baptized in Jesus' name from the Internet. Amen. Some have come from thousands of miles away to get baptized in Jesus' name. And one person who's probably with us online right now up in Canada, I received the Holy Ghost right here in this spot.
Glory.
Came down here, we baptized her, and she got filled with the Holy Ghost, or she got filled with the Holy Ghost. I think she got baptized by somebody else, but she got filled with the Holy Ghost right here. And when we met on the internet, she had a big website up there, and her had her creed, what they believed in, her doctrine. It was all about the Trinity, the three persons in the Godhead. But when she started listening to what we were saying, she looked into her word, she said, "Pastor, I've been wrong." And she asked us to actually help her change the wording of her creed to something that has to do with truth. And she changed her Trinitarian website to a one Lord, one faith, and one baptism website. So you're welcome to come, like Brother Joe said. You won't be the first one that did it.
That's amen. Right. Amen. God bless you today.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.